Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf today has said he's going to sign an executive order that's going to make some sweeping changes to the executive branch agencies and target gun violence. Going to use this opportunity to say, look, you know what? These shootings are getting crazy, especially today where in Philadelphia you had an active shooting going on. Last I heard, 6 officers were injured. This gun violence is just getting completely out of hand. And I give the governor credit for being willing to step forward and step up, even if our legislature refuses to do anything, and even if the Republicans in Congress refuse to do anything on this crisis that's going on. Now, that was today. Yesterday, you had the governor. It was reported that he's moving to fix our horribly outdated, horribly broken, waste, fraud, and abuse-laden charter laws. I'm here to share some thoughts on what the governor's actions are going to be, maybe how they're going to help, and what we need to be doing on education. I've asked Art Sternberg to come talk with us. Art is the president of AFT Pennsylvania. Art, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
So walk me through this. The governor said that, that he's going to take some executive action on this stuff. I mean, we've been talking about the horrible waste, fraud, and abuse in charter schools across the Commonwealth since they came around during the Ridge administration.
Yeah, 1997. I'd be glad to. But listen, at first, I'd like to let everyone know that our thoughts are with the families of the police officers and their families that were shot in the line of duty in North Philadelphia, and hope that a speedy recovery and that this situation resolves peacefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's again another one of those tragic things, and I know all of my gun friends say, it's not the guns. Well, the gun helps.
It helps an awful lot. I mean, they're sitting with an AR-57 in a neighborhood with a bunch of row homes around there, so there's all kinds of people within shooting distance. It's pretty sad.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about this charter thing, because,
sure.
I've been a proponent, I've been, an opponent of charter schools for a very long time. I think if you want to spend money wisely, invest heavily in our public schools, and then invest in all of the other things that would make children's opportunity to learn even better. Silver bullet solutions, in my mind, are not the answer. In fact, I just got into an argument with Democratic Whip Harris recently over charter schools. But I see this as a welcome moment from the governor.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you, and I'm glad to speak about it. A little bit of background. So the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's Constitution does call for every child to receive a thorough and efficient education. And the charter school law actually prevents us from meeting that obligation.
Well, not to cut you off, doesn't it say thorough and efficient public education?
I don't know about the word public, but I'll take it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it just says education, but it kind of means the same thing. But gets the same point across. So we really do thank and applaud Governor Wolf for these proposals, which will help enable us to move towards meeting that goal. The entire charter movement itself, as part of this overall right-wing plan of disinvestment in public education taking place in the Commonwealth. And it's really pretty simple, Rick. You begin by underfunding the schools, starving them of resources. This leads to them being labeled as failing. Then the artificially created failing labels used to justify diverting the resources back to charter schools, and they start the cycle all over again. So my members and I really are grateful that Governor Wolf is changing the course of public education in the Commonwealth, and it's really a good start for it. So, yeah. Where do you want me to go from there? I can give you all kinds of facts and things on the charters.
No, I'm sure you can. I mean, this is one of those moments, though, where, I have all the charter advocates coming after me saying, oh, no, this is going to give kids an opportunity. And I say, look at all the numbers of failures that have gone on. There's no silver bullet here, Art. And to me, this is just a way to take public dollars away from the education system, put it into private hands, and there's no accountability. I've said for a very long time, I'm not a big fan of choice. Do I need a choice between underfunded and bad and just bad? No, give me a really good option, and let's move forward on that. But because I think this choice thing is really a red herring.
Well, it's exactly right. It's an excuse to disinvest in public education and create a lower skilled workforce to work for the Waltons and the Gates of the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the accountability, you're right. I mean, the Pennsylvania charter law is probably the worst in the country. So the governor now is at least calling for there to be accountability. You cannot have any friends or relatives benefit from any interactions with the charter now under his proposal.
Yeah.
The way the current law is, you have friends and relatives profiting all over, whether it's from the real estate investment in the charter schools, which again is taxpayer funded money, or, you know, hiring them to do the maintenance and the construction, and there is no accountability or transparency on it at all. The charter schools are allowed to accumulate a gigantic surplus. It's taxpayer money, but since they're not subject to the right to know law, none of us know that. The governor's proposal calls for rectifying that.
Yeah, one of the things that drives me absolutely insane is I'll be driving down the highway, and all of a sudden I'll hear an ad on the radio, and it's, you know, for this charter or that cyber charter or this or that, and I'm going, there are my tax dollars going to this radio company, to this media company to promote charter schools. That's literally taking books out of schools, nurses out of schools, because those are dollars that are not getting into the classroom.
That's right. Those are resources that should be directed to kids, and the poorest kids in the state lose out on them. So they're making enough money to actually advertise instead of buying books, fixing facilities so our kids aren't poisoned by eating lead. It's really unconscionable.
No, I mean, I look at districts like Allentown or at the Allegheny School District or even Philadelphia, and the amount of these charter schools that have popped up have caused a funding crisis for the public schools. And there's part of me that goes, and you could agree or disagree, that this was by design. The idea is to just completely destroy public education and then turn it into a profit motive. Because, hey, what better way to ensure that there's profit for the investor class than by giving people this idea that the only way you're going to be able to make it in this world is, investing in yourself with an education, kind of like we've been doing to higher education, only this time for kindergartners.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. And ironically, you mentioned Allentown. I saw an article in the Allentown paper this morning that one out of every $6 spent by their school district goes to educating kids at charter schools. That's an increase of over 2,000% in 20 years.
Wow.
And the analysis said even further that Governor Wolf's proposal now would save them $10 million right off the bat, which is a great start towards getting them back on, you know, on an equal footing.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, and that's a huge number. And I've had people say, well, you know, they're fleeing the failing public school. But every study that I've seen shows that the charter schools do about the same as the public schools. A number of them do much worse, and a handful do better, only because you were able to cream out the most active parents. Because I've seen some of these, if you want to sign up for these charter schools, I've seen some of these requirements for parents where they've got to dedicate so many hours to the school and do so many functions. And to have that kind of a motivated parent, I don't care what school you put that kid in, that kid's going to succeed.
Sure. There was a study recently done by Stanford University, so obviously very credible, and they mentioned exactly what you did. Number one, the achievement rate. When you have similar demographics, the charter schools generally do worse. Overwhelmingly, they do worse. And they put an undue strain on the traditional public school system, which again stars them in resources so they can come in and label them as failing. So that label is a misnomer, and it's part of the overall plot to destroy public education in the Commonwealth. Over the last decade, their charter school population has increased 95%, but the tax dollars spent on them have increased 135%. So of course the traditional public schools are going to have more difficulty in performing. They don't have resources. They don't have teachers. The money is going to these charters.
So what do you say to the person who goes, Art, you know, but, you know, here's the thing. My kid has X amount of dollars, because what the charter movement has done masterfully, and you have to give them credit, is that they've broken it out to every child's supposed to get like $10,000, and they should be able to take that $10,000, Art, wherever they want to go. If they can go to the Abington Friends School and get a $10,000 education there, they should be able to do it.
Well, okay, so what happens is Abington Friends does not charge $10,000.
I know they don't.
So that money really only goes to folks that can afford it already. You're not going to take a poor child and get him into Abington Friends. The people that benefit from this are already in Abington Friends, weren't in the public schools to begin with. So the way that the charter school and these EITC things are established, you those kids are not counted in the public schools population to begin with, right? So their funding is not based on them. But if you're already in that school and you get that money, the public school still has to pay it. So it's a double hit. So it's really a false hope. You don't have anybody from poor, impoverished neighborhoods going to Episcopal Academy.
Right.
Or, you know, I don't know which, Evan Harrisburg, I don't know how much Bishop McDevitt is.
It's expensive.
Yeah. So they hold out this false carrot, get them to support it, and at the end of the day, it only goes to benefit the wealthy again.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up is I remember when this was, you know, the voucher plan back, you know, a number of years back was front and center. I had Senator Fulmer on the program, and he literally told me that if I got one of these golden tickets, if I got one of these vouchers, that I could send my kid to Abington Friends School, and it would cost me no more than the cost of this golden ticket. And I told him, there's just no way that's true. And
well, look at it. It hasn't happened. They can look at the, you know, I know we're talking about vouchers, but it's related to the EITC stuff. You look and see how many of those kids go to Abington Friends or Episcopal Academy, Haverford School. It just doesn't happen.
But, you know, we're given this belief that this is what we're going to get. And it's, you know, look, every parent, and I don't care who you are, every parent wants their kids to get the absolute best education they can possibly get. And I blame no one for that. My problem with all of this, and, you know, like my conversation with Representative Harris, was that, you know, this isn't the answer. Silver bullet gimmick tricks are not the answer. I grew up in the era of busing. Busing wasn't the answer. This isn't the answer either.
No, Rick, the answer is to fund our public schools properly. Pennsylvania is, I believe, 46th in the nation in the funding it provides to public schools. So the solution is really to take your resources, allocate them fairly, and not send them to these charters and private schools and rob the traditional public schools of the resources and supplies they need so that they can educate kids.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Governor Wolf's plan here, and look, I'm hoping this works because you've got to rein in this massive waste, fraud, and abuse. And we see these stories all over the place. I remember the story of the Frontier Virtual Cyber Charter School there in Philadelphia, where they 52 kids were supposed to get laptops and internet access and, you know, all this stuff. They never got any of it.
Now, the cyber charters are the worst because they get a full reimbursement from whatever the fee is determined, and their costs obviously are significantly less because there's no brick and mortar. So it's a situation just rife and open for abuse, fraud, and just really mistreatment of the public.
So in looking at this, how is this going to help public schools? Is this going to help get some more money back into the coffers? Because, look, I've talked to superintendents across the Commonwealth, and they all say the same thing. In areas where these charters are popping up, it's starving them of the resources to keep the lights on and the heat put nurses and librarians in their school buildings.
Well, yeah, just go back to what I said before, Allentown alone, you know, it's I think it's like $60 million that are their $300 million budget go to charter schools. Just think what would happen if that money was plowed into the schools where it really belongs. Just think what we could accomplish.
Yeah.
Then we wouldn't all be labeled failing. Listen, I don't want to make this Philadelphia-centric, but just to give you the sheer staggering weight of the numbers, Philadelphia, which is where my local is from, they're projected to spend a little over $1 billion on charter schools next year. That's $1 billion.
Wow.
So if we had that now, we could do remarkable things. Our members perform admirably under the most trying conditions. And you give us that money and there'd be no holding us back.
You know, it's interesting to me that we do these things in poverty-ridden areas. You know, I've talked about this myself. I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland as a kid. And we bust poor kids from my housing project from one side of the city to the other, to another poor area. We took project kids from that city and that area and brought them. We just shuffled poor kids around. So it seems like all of these silver bullet gimmicks only we try out on poor people, and poor people of color.
That's right. They're experimenting with poor people, and you hit the nail on the head. They particularly single out kids of color, and because they're really of no importance to the people that are setting the policy, and it's disgraceful. And I have trouble coming to grips with the fact that we literally are performing experiments on kids. Right? Every new program that comes around targets poor communities, communities that are majority of color, and they don't work. If you would just fund the public schools properly and not take this money as an excuse to profit private industry and corporate America, we would be a lot better off.
Yeah, let me hit you with a couple of emails I got. Jack sent an email saying, what does Art have to say about the fact that charter schools were the brainchild of AFT? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And what's happened is now the it has been, it's a word I don't want to use on the air. They have taken it and changed the focus of it. The original purpose, it was Al Shanker that developed it, and it was supposed to be innovative laboratory-type schools that would be able to work, would be able to waive contractual provisions, design programs that would then be transferred into the public schools. Instead, private corporations saw there's a lot of money here, and they've changed the focus of it. So that is not what happens anymore. You don't find these experimental, innovative programs. It's really lockstep, purchased curriculums, canned, scripted. So there's no innovation going on at all. So they've really strayed from the original definition.
Yeah. And I would also throw in that the any innovation that was gained out of it was patented and it was then sold back to the taxpayers for even more of a gain. So not only did we pay for the R&D, we get to pay for continually for what we paid for to have developed to begin with.
Yeah, and maybe I wasn't as clear as I wanted to be. There's no R&D with it anymore. They'll go to a place like Pearson that does it, you know, that develops all this curriculum and testing materials and pay them a fortune and then underpay their teachers.
Yeah.
And so there's no innovation going on, and that's one of the reasons the achievement is so bad.
Yeah, Bonnie has a statement saying, charters are nothing but union busting. Thoughts?
Exactly. I mean, the Pennsylvania law for organizing them is also one of the worst in the country. They're at will employees. So whenever we go in and try and organize them, they get rid of the folks that are vocal and stand up. They pay them so badly that it's a very transient population. They leave and come over to our public schools whenever they can. So, again, it's all part of that corporate right-wing plan to disinvest and destroy both public education and unions.
Now, last question I've got for you, in looking at this proposal, I love the fact that the governor is doing some action on this, but ultimately this is something that the law has to be changed, and we, the voting people, have to get behind. How do we fix this? I mean, because this is just an executive order. Whoever the next governor is can undo all of this, and it will be just as bad, if not worse, than it was before.
Well, so there's two tacks. Number one, you're right, the executive actions will be in place, and hopefully they'll prove successful so that the next governor, if he is so inclined, will have a difficult time repealing them. And then we have to work on the legislature. And listen, it comes really down to the ballot box. We have to elect folks that are pro-public education and pro-worker. And my members look forward to working with the governor and the legislature on moving these proposals forward so that we can benefit everybody.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm a big proponent of public education. I think it's something that we need. And as Janice pointed out, not to correct you, but Janice sent me an email saying that the Constitution says the General Assembly shall provide for the maintenance and support of a thorough and efficient system of public education to serve the needs of the Commonwealth. So for me, private schools are not something that.
Oh, I agree. Listen, I was on the same page with you. I just didn't remember the exact wording. I mean, it's clearly that it's the Commonwealth's responsibility to provide a public education, not just an education. And if that's what you thought I meant, I apologize.
To me, that's simple, Art. But really great talking with you. I hope you'll come back and talk with us again real soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, Art Starnberg. He's the president of AFTPA. Good stuff. And look, as I said, I hope these reforms actually rein in some of the waste, fraud, and abuse. I hate seeing my tax dollars being spewed all over the radio, pushing bad policy down our throats. And also giving the very wealthy huge breaks. I mean, because he hit on it right there. The people who are sending their kids to these private schools already, they get to cash in by whatever the district says is the per pupil cost. And when we start breaking it down to that level, which they do on purpose, that's how you destroy it. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show.
keeping the chambers of commerce within their gated communities. The Rick Smith Show.